Hello, and thank you for joining XBRL US and our ongoing podcast series. This is Michelle Savage. I'm the VP for Communication at XBRL US, and today we're here to talk about global standards, corporate actions, and XBRL. We have two experts in their areas, and I'm pleased to announce. First will be David Hands, who's the Director of Product Development at the Depository Trust and Clearing Corporation, which is the central securities depository for the U.S. We also have Carla McKenna, who is the Director of Industry Leadership at Citi. Carla also has a role at ISO. She is the chair of the ISO Technical Committee 68 for Financial Services. So with that, I'm going to go ahead and get started with our questions. Carla, can you tell me a little bit about your role on ISO?
Yes, ISO, the International Organization for Securitization, segments its work according to technical committees. The one that I chair is TC68. As you said, it's focused against the financial services industry. To the conversation that we're having today, the relevance is that TC68 looks at international standards for the securities industry and also maintains a standard called ISO 20022, which is a standard for the financial services industry to model and to promote messaging across the financial services industry, including corporate actions that we're talking about today.
Great. Thanks, Carl. And so, as you said, we're here to talk about data standards, talk about global standards. Maybe just to start off, here's a question for both David and Carla. Why are data standards so important in today's marketplace? How can standards mitigate some of the confusion that we see in the marketplace and some of the issues that we're encountering today? Carla, maybe you could get us started on that.
Well, we're seeing, especially today, that the world is a smaller place, and many of us as transactors and intermediaries within the financial services world don't only act within one country. We have a large part of our businesses transact business cross-border. So these standards that are set at the international level become more and more important to us as we cross these borders.
Thank you. David, do you want to comment on standards in general as well?
Certainly. Thank you. Thank you, Michelle. As you can imagine, being in our position as a CSD in the U.S., the volumes of transactions that flow through our organizations, whether that's a trade or settlements in the clearing space or corporate action announcements, dividend payments, et cetera, in the asset servicing space, is fundamental to information flow to the participants of DTC, the brokerage houses and global custodians and custodians that hold securities with us. So you can imagine we need to inform and communicate with these organizations. So to have that in electronic fashion requires a standard to be adopted. Now, typically to date, that standard may well be, as we're communicating within one market being the U.S., is a standard that we have, you know, obviously developed over the years. However, as we expand, as Carla mentioned, into more of a global arena, or information in the financial community itself is between expands globally as investors invest globally, the communication standards sort of really requires a sort of a global view as well, hence the importance of the ISO standard 15022 and 20022.
Thank you. Now I'd like to turn and talk a little bit about corporate actions. Both of you are involved in a conference coming up on May 28th that's being hosted by XBRL US and being done in association with DTCC and with SWIFT. And it's going to focus on data standards for corporate actions, data standards, but also technology standards. David, can you tell us a little bit about the corporate actions world? How do corporate actions, what exactly are they? How do they work, and what kind of data standard is in place today for corporate actions?
Certainly. As you can imagine, again, whether it be DTCC or Citi as a custodian, we're holding assets on behalf of investors. Those assets, securities, may undergo an event that the issuer determines, such as a dividend payment or a tender offer or a merger. To communicate that information to the market, the investor certainly will go out and, you know, do a broadcast, whether through a press release or through a in the US are filing within the SEC. So that information is transmitted out in a very sort of manual paper process. The custodian world, the asset servicing world that Carl and I represent, take that information and have to translate it, transform that into electronic data so we can pass it down to our clients, whether that's a participant of DTC or client or asset manager of Citi, to ensure that they are aware of the event and then to provide the transactions on accounts that clients hold with us. So it's important to, A, to inform the client. B, there may well be some information that they have to provide back to us, and maybe it's an election on a particular event, and ultimately to post a transaction that may be additional funds from a dividend or a completely new security added to the portfolio, whether through a merger or a spin-off or whatever else. So that communication process needs to be done, as you can imagine, on a very frequent basis, and to do that through paper is not very effective. So over the years, we've developed a standard underneath ISO that starts to determine what's important of an event, what data elements are required, and then the market practice around how to use that for particular events and how that event can be translated in the UK or the US or Australia. So global market practice, common practice that can be applied not just within one market but multiple markets becomes a very powerful tool to the asset servicing community to ultimately ensure that the accounts that we hold on behalf of clients and ultimately behalf of investors, again, is correctly accounted for with the transactions that issuers announce.
Okay, and you've talked a bit about the data standard, but you know, one of the things that we're in discussions about doing is taking this data standard and converting it into an XBRL format. How do you feel that's going to change the process that takes place today?
Sure. Obviously, the intention of XBRL, from our perspective, is how do you communicate or how do you get that information electronically at source, and that's been the issue in this particular case. The documentation, as I mentioned, certainly in the US, is quite verbose. It's quite large, and you know, it takes people, specialists within each organization, whether it's DTC, Citi, or others, to go through and sort of mine that information, make sure we understand it correctly, and then pass it down onto our clients. And everybody's doing the same sort of action to make sure that their books and records are correctly reflect the event, and also that they pass on correct information to their clients. So if you can imagine, everybody's doing that type of activity, but it's still based upon a single source of information being the issue, whether that's a prospectus, a filing, a letter, transmittal, whatever it may be, it's all focused onto one particular document. Now, if you can imagine that document provided is not only in a paper form, but it's provided with a electronic version or a tagged version, a subset of that whole text that we as consumers can have stated that we need, now whether it's a withdrawal date or an expiration date or a rate, particular data elements that are provided within the document, if that can be announced to us in electronic fashion, then we save time, effort, interpretation risk, costs, and general additional workflows that we have to go through, fundamentally because the information at the beginning of the flow is distributed to us in paper. And that may well be received by other parties in multiple other vehicles where data vendors may pick up that same information provided or custodian may provide it to an asset manager who may have multiple custodians, so he gets multiple versions of that same document and still have to go back to the initial document to make sure everybody's got it correct. So there's a whole reconciliation process that goes on that becomes very cumbersome and risky to the asset servicing community who are acting on behalf of the investors of the very issues that are announced in the event. XBRL is something that's come along that may well provide the technical means to provide that tagging of a document, and if we impose a ISO standard on top of that, then you have a standard within the taxonomy that is not only applicable in the US but can be applicable globally.
Okay, and maybe let's, you know, coming back to, you know, your last point on globally, how is this going to help global markets, the standard? the using the technology standard along with the data standard, because XBRL is a it's you know generally accepted around the world as well.
Sure. Again, if that's based upon a global standard, then the issuing, whether in the UK, US, Australia, has an event that we can tell them through the, this the standard that has had input from the UK financial services industry, from the Australian financial services industry, has that knowledge sort of embedded in the standard and the market practice surrounding the standard, that, and embed that into the XBRL taxonomy itself, and issuer can pull that down and know, okay, for this particular event, for this particular market, on this particular security type, these are the bits of information that I need to provide and tag to ensure that those that are going to receive it, you know, meet the needs of their systems or of their clients.
Mm-hmm. So regardless of where the security is traded, where the investor is located.
Correct. Because again, you're basing it on something that's recognised now globally as the primary standard or the only standard for global, mm-hmm. for corporate actions. Correct.
Okay. And you know, just my last question, you know, for both or either of you is, you know, how is this going to affect investors? You know, you talked a little bit about that, but just bottom line, is this, you know, is this a major benefit for best investors, or is this something that's going to have more of a positive impact on the processors of information?
Should I take that one first, David?
Certainly.
I think that the effect on the end investors will come from examining the chain, the entire chain that we've been talking about. And of course, as you say, Michelle, there will be other recipients of benefits in this whole chain. So if we start with in the context of international standards, as far as standardizing on the content, and from that we get the data elements that David was talking about into particular types of events, and we standardize those and we make those consistent. We then match that with allowing the data to become machine readable earlier in the process. This information then is quicker to be able to be put into the international messaging standards from an ISO perspective. And that means that more consistent data on these corporate action events gets out through the processor stage out into the investors quicker and with less cost and less risk than we've seen before.
Great. David, do you have any final comments on that?
No, I think it's absolutely caught us a correction in that. And then, you know, the quicker, more accurate way that we can interpret the issuer's intent and what they're doing on the securities and how they ultimately, you know, may pay a dividend, et cetera. You know, if you can imagine a mutual fund, for example, having to account for that type of stuff on a daily basis. So if there's an event that impacts the positions of the value of that fund, that has to be accounted for in the daily price. So mm-hmm. as an investor, if you're trading in and out of that security, you may be negatively impacted if that information isn't correctly accounted for. So certainly from your mutual fund perspective as an investor, as an individual investor, perhaps you may not receive the information as quickly and effectively as you would like. Perhaps in this certainly internet age, there's an opportunity to sort of stream that information more directly to you. So I'd imagine there's benefits that we can see already and probably yet to be uncovered in pushing upstream with to the issuers to ask mm-hmm. them to provide a tagged document to save that interpretation risk and timeliness factors that come into the flow just because of the way it's grown up over the many years of the securities business.
Right, and I imagine that investors and issuers are so accustomed to, you know, following the practice that they've been following for, you know, for decades, that they don't even understand the, you know, ultimately the benefits they can recognize out of more timely, more accurate information.
Correct.
You
know, and I just wanted just to stress for a second that the timeliness and accuracy is on the financial services community. Again, obviously, from the issuing perspective, they feel that I'd imagine that the accuracy is there in the documentation. The timeliness is there because they're submitting to the SEC or making a press release. Just ensuring that the investor see that same accuracy and timeliness that mm-hmm. the issuer expects them to see, but may not have a view to that because of the multiple layers that actually exist between the investor and the issuer in today's financial community.
Right, right. Well, I want to thank you very much, Carla and David, for joining us today. And, you know, this is really interesting commentary, and I encourage everybody who's listening to go to www.xbrl.us, and you can find a link there to the event Corporate Actions 2009, where you'll hear a lot more of this articulated and explained in great detail. We have a lot of great speakers, including people that you've heard today, as well as others from the SEC, from FDIC, from New York Life, from lots of other organizations. So with that, thanks very much, and you know, join us on our next podcast. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Thank you, Michelle.